But I wanted to start today by talking about a small country with a democratically elected government that was trying to fix up problems in that country and make life better for that country. And then a big neighbouring superpower working to overthrow the government of that country. Because that big neighbouring superpower didn't agree with the policy direction of that small democratic country. And you might think I'm talking about the Ukraine and the big superpower being Russia. But I'm actually talking about Guatemala and the big superpower being the USA. In 1954, there was a democratically elected government in Guatemala that gave the vote to women, that gave land rights to poor peasants, that was improving the standard of living of many of the poorest people in Guatemala. But that was upsetting and interrupting the essentially very cheap or slave labour that the United Fruit Company was using to get cheap bananas and other fruit to America and other places. And so they lobbied the American government, and the American government sent the CIA, and they kicked out the democratically elected government. I could also talk to you about a superpower that is trying to control the narrative that its citizens hear to justify their invasion of another country. And again, you might be thinking I'm talking about Russia and the way they're trying to do that with their citizens, but no, actually I'm not. I'm talking about how the USA made it a case for the invasion of Iraq with weapons of so-called mass destruction that were there. And the reason I raise these things is not to try and, in some way, justify the work of what Russia's doing. But I want us to get and look at a deeper level at what's going on. And to do that, I thought I'd read something from the Bible. And I thought I'd read something from Revelation. And I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 6. And this precedes Revelation chapter 5, where it's revealed that Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, is the Lion of Judah. He's the one that's on the throne. He is the one that has the ability and the authority and the power to undo the seals of history. And then this is described in chapter 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds for wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given the power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed, just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the moon, whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to earth, and as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" You see, the book of Revelation is called the book of Revelation because it reveals things. And it's not so much about, okay, so this what's happening in Ukraine is what's described in, you know, in the book of Revelation. And in fact, for the last 2,000 years, this particular passage didn't refer to anything else, but all of a sudden it means this. No, it's not the way it works, you see. What is happening here in chapter 6 is that in the book of Revelation, we are seeing a different aspect to current reality. And what we see are four dark spiritual forces at work in the world. The spiritual force of conquest and of war and of economic manipulation and of death through plague and famine and sword. You see, when we get into times of conflict like this, it's what we think is, well, one side's on the right side and the other side's on the wrong side, and we hope that the right side wins that particular conflict, that that particular empire has conquest over the other particular empire. But there is a deeper issue going on. The need for empires at all. You see? Now, it's a terrible situation and we need to be praying for it, and governments need to do the diplomacy and all those sorts of things. But the deeper diagnosis of Revelation 6 and of the New Testament is that there's something deeper going on here that needs to be addressed, you see. These four horsemen of the apocalypse, as they're often termed, are actually deep, dark spiritual powers at work in the world around us. The desire to conquest, and we see that in nations. But we also see that in states. And we see that in political parties. And we see it in multinationals. And we see it in small businesses trying to conquer other small businesses. And we see it in churches. Anywhere where there's assets or positions to be controlled, the desire to control them rises up, even in Christians. And it happens in families. The desire to dominate and control. So Revelation 6 paints the big picture, and it's pointedly talking to people who are in positions of power and who run armies and who manage economic systems so that the poor people pay more for the staples but the rich people get their wine at the same price. And it talks to the people in the colonial era of the West, where they would go to countries and they would deliberately knew that they were taking germs with them which would kill the indigenous population. Those things happened from so-called Christian Europe. And so Revelation 6 says God is judging these things. God is letting them do their worst. Letting empires and conquering and war and economic manipulation and bringing death, letting it do its worst. And it says, the kings of the earth and the princes and generals and the rich and the mighty, all of those ones that actually making the decisions about that, but then it goes down to include everyone, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid because the wrath of God at these four dark spiritual powers is being revealed. You see, they have to be dealt with. And in fact, they have been dealt with on the cross. Not by having a bigger gun, not by being willing to kill more people, but by being willing, Jesus being willing to die. You see, plenty of people, when they're in positions of power, find themselves caught up in the necessity to do things. That's why we talk about it being a dark spiritual force that often operates. Even you might be the best person in the world, but when you find yourself at the head of a company or the head of a country or whatever else, you will often find yourself exposed to maybe impulses and forces that you don't really understand. And you find yourself being willing to kill others so that you avoid being killed yourself. Jesus taught about this issue of power. And we don't have the time today to explore all of the nuances of this and go into stuff about just war theory and is it ever right for Christians to be involved in conflict. Well, all you need to know is that it was a serious issue to wrestle with. For the first 300 years, every Christian was a pacifist. And if you were a Roman soldier and you became a Christian and you were still a Roman soldier and you killed someone as part of your duties, then there was the expectation that you would do penance for a whole year about that. And I know it's complicated because if we don't have police forces, then thugs and bullies reign. So I know there's these complex things, but in the midst of it, we then need to hear and wrestle with Jesus' teaching about power. And in Mark chapter 10, and we've referred to this before, James and John wanted positions of power. They wanted to be Jesus' right and left-hand men. And Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." They were actually the two rebels that were crucified next to Jesus. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." And so Revelation 6 paints the big world picture. We see and can now identify things that are wrong with this world system that God is judging and will one day eliminate. And our job is to be the upside down people, the people that are willing to die rather than to kill, the people that serve rather than dominate. That's what Revelation 6 talked about, all those who'd been slain, they'd rather be slain than slay others. The people who lived out the upside down resurrection power of God in our churches, in our workplaces, in our marriages. Anywhere where you think you deserve or you actually are in a position of power and control. The Jesus way is not to dominate by intimidation or manipulation or any other means. It's to sacrifice yourself. And so we need to be praying for the situation in Ukraine. We need to be praying for the situation in places like Yemen, where war has been going on for much longer and terrible famine is being used as a weapon of war in that place. And there's many other places, probably too numerous to mention, that we probably don't even know enough about, where these dark spiritual forces of conquest and war and economic domination and the fear of death are being used. We can be confident and know that they are being dealt with. God is dealing with them. But we've got to say, "God, give me eyes to see how those spiritual forces might be impacting me in my circles of responsibility, in my relationships. And God, give me the courage. Give me the grace. Give me the wisdom in how I can do what you've taught us to do, Jesus. How can those of us who want to become great can become servants? And how can we who are first or want to become first become the slave of all? And how can we copy you, Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve? That takes reflection, that takes prayer, that takes courage. But the more and more people that are willing to die and not to kill is the way out of wars in the future. And if we say, oh, I will do that when everybody else does that, then guess what? It'll never happen. And so we need to wrestle with it, what that means for us in our particular circumstances. God, give me wisdom to understand how to do that. And it may not be an easy situation, it may not be simple, but we need to wrestle. Because we so want to be in a world where those big forces are not at play anymore. Let's pray. God, there's conflict in Ukraine that you know about, and it feels like countries are being sucked into it, and people are dying, and risk of escalation is real. God, we want to pray against the deep spiritual forces of conquest and war and economic dominance and wielding the threat of death, God. Because they're the things at play on many sides. God, we pray that you would restrain the hands of those things, those evil, dark things. And Lord, that you would hasten the day where those things are dealt with in their entirety. But God, help us to build our lives on your love. Help us to build our lives on the way of Jesus. Give us the wisdom to figure out what that means in our unique and individual circumstances.